Journey to the unend in this new audio adventure filled with cosmic exploration and strange reality-bending encounters.
Unend follows a supernatural ship and a remarkable crew on an expedition to explore the highest heights, deepest depths, and furthest reaches of the known cosmos. But their journey is fraught with peril as they discover truths and realities far stranger than any of them could ever have imagined.
This standalone series takes place in the Midst Cosmos, a surreal sci-fantasy setting home to other podcast series, such as Moonward and the award-winning audio drama Midst.
Unend is created and produced by us, Third Person, and we'll also serve as the playfully omniscient narrators of the voyage.
New episodes of Unend release every Wednesday anywhere podcasts are found, or through the Midst Podcast YouTube channel.
For early, ad-free episodes and lore-expanding bonus content, join Beacon at beacon.tv or become a member of midst.co.
Ben, my dearest undead, drag your corpses into the stinky dragon, try our latest cocktail, the Bloody Mummy. We mix rotten tomatoes, embalming fluid, a shot of vodka, and garnish it with your own ashes. Now that's what I call a stiff drink. Last time our adventurers arrived in the city of Urbloom, we were given an important mission from a dying Brink Tussler. Go back in time, find past Brink, and rebuild some device called the Recapitulator. They arrived in Urbloom again! They took a tour of the city with their old friend Oof while riding about the Spurline Sail Road. Afterward, they headed to a local pub for a drink where they ran into Brink Tussler again. Will Brink join the ranks or remain the prankster? Rest your weary souls and let's bury this bone. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tales from the Stinky Dragon.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Wah, 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 wah.
Good morning.
How are we expected not to laugh at your intro every time?
I love it.
Oh, just mute yourself, I guess. You're laughing because it's so bad? It's so bad, right?
No, it's just like, I never know what to expect of what the first thing you're going to say is. This time it's Guten Tag!
Guten Abend!
Also, what's that character that you're playing? Is that a character that we've encountered or is this just the narrator?
That's actually a good question. So when we were coming up with names for this show, we settled on Tales from the Stinky Dragon and we envisioned the Stinky Dragon as a tavern, as kind of like a hub for all of the different stories that can be told in this universe. So the voice you hear is the bartender in the Stinky Dragon, the Stinky Dragon being an actual like tavern. So that's the bartender who's telling the story to someone who's sitting at the bar. And so your story, the campaign you're playing, is a story being told in the Stinky Dragon.
It's the stuff of legends.
Yes. So yeah, from a metagaming perspective, it's been abstracted.
I see.
Yeah.
I want to point out, I like whenever Gus says, that's a good question, because I feel like I did good, and it's kind of like a Pavlovian response. I go,
yeah, it's like a parent's approval.
Salivating. I start salivating. I can't stop.
It's just one of those things I wasn't sure if we'd ever discussed before.
And if you want to get super meta, we did a live stream series on roosterteeth.com that the ending ended up with us starting a bar called The Stinky Dragon.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the previous campaign.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you all are still creating the legend. You're still weaving the tale that's being told at the Stinky Dragon, even to this day.
Well, lucky for them, we don't know how to sew or weave.
It's time to get down to business.
To defeat the Huns.
I was thinking the exact same thing, John.
So Brink Tussler and the Everguards are standing in front of you all, and you all need to roll initiative. Go ahead and roll that initiative.
11.
Oh,
thank heaven.
22.
22 for me as well.
20. Nope, 18. I was looking at Gum-Gums.
I see an 18 from you, Mud.
Why is Gum-Gum rolling again?
What are you doing, Gum-Gum?
Because we had the same.
Nope.
No, you didn't.
You had 20.
He had 18.
For those listeners at home, it is early morning by our standards.
It's not. It's 9:45. Okay, that's not early
morning.
It's
really morning. Not. Yeah, John's been up since, I don't know, 5 a.m.?
6.
This is halfway through his day. John's eating lunch right now.
I'm actually really hungry.
I could go for some lunch.
I did my workout, but I went too long, and so I didn't get to have any of my post-workout stuff, so I'm just kind of hungry right now.
Angry.
Bart, Brink Tussler is standing up in front of Kyborg, who pulled the door open, and the Everguards are with him. What do you want to do?
I want to
punch him in the face.
No, give him the give. We need to charm this guy.
I was gonna say, could I cast charm person?
Well, I didn't mean literally with magic.
Well, I mean, you could try it. You could try.
Why not?
It.
Doesn't charm have like negative after effects?
Maybe. Okay, maybe I'll just use my natural charms. My God-given charisma.
just to be clear, they are all pulling weapons. Just so you know.
Okay. Could I try to talk them down? Like, hey, guys, there's no need to start a fight here. Let's just talk it out.
Yeah, I mean, you could try not intimidation. Persuasion? Yeah, do a persuasion check.
Rolling. I got a plus 12.
Yeah, Brink and the Ever Guards seem unmoved by your pleas to try to settle things in a peaceful manner.
That's unfortunate. I think Bart's our most charismatic character in our group.
Let me at him.
No, what if why don't we all just calm down? I could play you guys a song.
Oh, what you gonna play?
I'm gonna play a tune from my old days with my pirate family.
Wait, what?
You grew up on a pirate ship.
Yeah. Oh, Bart grew up on, we went over this, right? Yeah.
I knew you went to college. I didn't know that also, along with the college backstory, there was pirates. Sorry,
well, catching
up on Bart.
Maybe if we all listened to each other's stories when we went over the catch-up episode.
Oh, 8.5. I totally listened to that, but everything just leaving my brain lately. Nothing is retaining.
Didn't study for the test.
How are you gonna do this? What are you doing here? Like, what skills are you using? How are you gonna approach this?
I'm gonna roll performance.
Ooh, okay.
24.
Ooh.
I'm gonna drop a quick theory. I think Barbara just wants to hear what Micah will do with this. she heard that Mud had a song, and now she wants a Bart song, and I can't blame her.
We don't have the budget to start just calling out things for him to start making.
Oh, it's so
don't.
Strange. Kyborg suddenly breaks into a rap. It was, oh, wow.
Whoa, crazy.
No, you would have to rap, Blaine, for that. So,
word up. I'm ready.
Oh, no, no, no. Yuck.
24 from Bart.
24 performance.
Okay, they all kind of exchange glances with each other and look at you, not sure what to make of the spontaneous performance that has manifested in front of them.
But they love it.
Man, remember when Bart died playing guitar?
You see one of them maybe tapping their foot a little bit.
It was the most rock and roll thing ever when he died playing music.
The day the music died.
Gum gum.
Okay, so how many guards are there?
So it's Brink and 4 Everguards with him. So for the total of 5 people.
Okay.
All right. How many can Gum Gum hug at the same time?
I want to go and go to Brink and give him a big hug.
Called it.
Oh, no.
And be like, I don't want to fight you. Give me a hug. There's nothing that we can't work out with hugs.
Is that a grapple?
Yeah, if you want to hug someone, it would be a grapple.
Okay. Does that do damage?
No, it just restrains them.
Okay. I'll do that, and I guess I'll rage while I do it. It's like an aggressive hug, but not angry hug.
Go ahead and make a grapple check with Brink Tussler.
I have a new rage thing. I don't think Gum Gum knows this, but I know it. It's where I roll a random thing whenever I rage.
Oh, right. Yeah, is that a Wild Surge?
Yeah, Wild Surge.
Do you have that table in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and roll it.
It's a 4.
4.
Not bad, not bad.
Magic infuses one weapon of your choice that you're holding. Until your rage ends, the weapon's damage type changes to force, and it gains the light and thrown properties with a normal range of 20 feet and a long range of 60 feet. If the weapon leaves your hand, the weapon reappears in your hand at the end of the current turn.
Well, that's pretty cool.
I don't think Gum Gum knows it even happened.
Yeah, his weapon feels lighter. I think that would be the thing he would realize.
Yeah.
All right, so go ahead and make a strength, an athletics check, I mean.
19.
19, that's pretty good. Brink gets to make his own.
Pretty strong.
Against you.
He fails because he's weak.
Oh, 17.
He had a really good roll. He rolled a 17, but Gum Gum with a 19 does overpower him. So, yeah, you've got Brink Tussler in your arms, and you're giving him a big old hug. Are you going to whisper anything into his ear while you're doing that?
Please don't fight us.
That's creepy.
God.
Ahmad.
They're holding weapons?
Yes, they have drawn their weapons.
What are their weapons?
Swords?
What they draw them with.
I believe they're swords. Let me double check.
Crayons.
Good. Nice, nice. That's a good one. Short swords.
Okay. I guess pick one of them, and I cast heat metal on the sword.
Ooh.
To try to get him to drop the sword.
That's a very handy spell.
Yeah. It causes the object to glow red hot, and if they are in physical contact with it, they take 2d8 fire damage. The creature must succeed on a constitution saving throw or drop the object if it can. So it's like if they want to keep holding on to it, they have to do a constitution saving throw or they have to drop it.
Okay, I see. Yeah, so they do drop their weapon.
Yeah. And then there's things that happens if they keep holding on to it that give them disadvantage. So he takes damage, drops the sword.
So one of the Everguards, their short sword begins glowing red hot. And you hear the hiss of the skin on their hand burning as they drop the short sword out of their hands. It's like the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark when the guy grabs the amulet. That's a good one, Mud. Brink's going to try to wiggle out of this grapple that he is in. Right, so go ahead and make an athletics check, Gum Gum.
Come on, Gum Gum. Hold him tight.
Oh,
I got an 8.
7.
Yes!
No, I think he has a +1 because he's doing it dexterity-based. Let's double checking. Yeah, he has a +1, so it's an 8.
Is this a tie?
So we roll off.
It's a roll-off, folks!
So roll again, Gum Gum.
Come on. Come on, Gum Gum.
13?
Oh.
6.
Yes!
Nice.
Brink Tussler's like wriggling in your arms trying to get free, but he can't quite seem to break out.
I want a list of everybody in this game so far that Gum Gum has hugged.
The Everguard, who dropped their sword, is going to go ahead and pick up their sword and drop back because they really burned their hand bad on the heat metal spell.
The heat remains.
So it's still hot.
Until the spell ends, you can use a bonus action on each of your subsequent turns to cause this damage again. So if he wants to get hurt again, he can pick up his nasty sword.
He is not picking that sword up. He has no sword now, so he's going to fall back a little bit and let his friends take care of the fight. The other three are going to...
Did all 5 of them roll better than me?
Because you haven't gone yet.
I haven't gone yet. I'm just standing there.
Yeah, they rolled a 14. You rolled an 11.
God.
They're all going together.
A barbershop quartet.
Yes.
The other three are going to also try to jump into the grapple with Gum Gum to free Brink. So do one more athletics check here for me, Gum Gum, and then they're going to roll with advantage against you since it's 3 of them trying to oppose your roll.
Need a high roll, Gum Gum.
10.
That's not a high roll.
So I'm going to roll twice here. I'm going to take the highest one. 16 plus 2, 18.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, with 3 scouts jump on you, Gum Gum, and they manage to pry your arms open and free Brink Tussler, who pops out from your arms. And scowls at you the way only Brink Tussler can. So that's their turn, Kyborg.
The classic just smelled a fart Brink Tussler look. paint a picture for me here, Gus. Are they like in a flying V formation? Like what's this all kind of looking like?
I'll say Brink Tussler was probably dropped, so he's probably down on one knee in front of Gum Gum, looking up at him, sneering.
Mm.
The one with that took damage from heat metal is... kind of retreated back towards the door where you were that you were trying to pull open in the previous episode.
Okay.
The other Everguards are they're still like tangled up with Gum Gum wrapped around his arms, you know, having opened his arms up to free Brink Tussler out.
Okay. I want to back up 15 feet by doing a backflip. Do I need to roll athletics for that?
Oh my god, yes.
Acrobatics.
This is a bonus action though, right? This is a movement.
Yeah, but if you fail this miserably.
Alright, here we go. Shoot. It's an 8. What was my best? It turns into a backwards somersault. Give me that at least. I'm hearing typing. I'm hearing silence. I'm worried.
Well,
they're thinking.
Well, 8. No, normally you always roll above 10, so I don't care. But you rolled below 10 this time, so I got to look up to see what the actual backflip check is. 5 minutes later. Yeah, you don't make it.
Inspiration die. I do a better backflip.
Okay, the general rule of thumb is 10 for that kind of check.
Okay, ignore that ever happened. I'm taking away my inspiration die. It's a 23. It's the sickest backflip you've ever seen, Gus.
You do a magnificent backflip. It was worth all the reading and double checking.
Yeah, first try. All right, this is I'm about 15 feet away from all those guys now, and I draw my longbow. And I have an arcane shot that I want to make. I'm going to shoot right in the middle of that group, ideally 10 feet.
So right on Gum Gum?
No, I want to do it in a way that I shoot the ground about 10 feet or 11 feet away from Gum Gum, but in a way that they're still in the radius of the shot. Does that make sense?
Didn't they just all grab him?
There's like a foot or so of space. This is more of like a shooting.
They're literally hanging onto him.
Just do it. I'm okay. What is it? What are you doing exactly?
Okay, fine. Then I shoot Gum Gum's feet. I shoot at Gum Gum's feet. I take the shot. Bursting arrow. Here we go. I guess I should roll for arrow. Boom. 18.
18. Okay. Yeah, that's a really excellent roll.
Thank you. Yeah, as I said, that was a bursting arrow. So immediately after the arrow hits a creature, the target and all other creatures within 10 feet of it take 2d6 force damage.
So 2d6 on the Everguards and on Gum Gum.
And I'm pretty sure Bring Tussler's there, and I'm pretty sure Tussler, that other guy is not 10 feet away. I'm pretty sure he takes them too.
All right.
2d6. Here's one. Here's two. Bada bing, bada boom. Five.
5 points of force damage. Anything else from you, Tyborg?
I say, I could sink another one right between your eyes, Brink. I don't want to have to do this. We mean you no harm.
He says after doing harm.
Yeah. But that being said, I do want to take an action surge, which is you can take one additional action on your turn. And I want to do the exact same thing again. I want to shoot an arrow right at their feet. And you know that it's an arcane shot, and it's a bursting arrow.
Oh, you're doing the exact same thing again?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean you no harm. Harm.
Yeah, harm. We mean you no harm.
I'm just trying to intimidate the heck out of them.
It's just a harm cool sandwich with a lie in the middle.
All right, you know what? All right, so I guess I should...
You just kept saying what, and then didn't finish it.
16.
Yes.
6. Ooh, that's a 9.
9. That's a total of 14 points of damage on everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. You gotta be, like, close to halvesies at this point.
Yeah.
Gum Gum's pretty strong.
I just thought about something. If I had only had a stick that could have squished Brink to the ground, that would have kept him...
Some kind of rod that's immovable.
That could have made him not able to move.
Yeah, that would have been really helpful, wouldn't it?
It would have.
John, both hands on his head, shaking, very sad. I can imagine now. Yeah.
You hear a bell chime from one of the nearby towers. Everyone stops in their tracks and turns toward the Glockensquare with looks of confusion. Nearby townsfolk begin to murmur. Did you hear that? Which bell was it? Who in the world could be ringing the bells? Everyone go ahead and roll me a perception check.
That's an 11.
26.
I got a 18.
And a 10 from Gum Gum. You know, based on the direction of the sound, it seems like the bell that's tolling seems to be coming from the Noon Bell Tower. Brink turns to the side and looks in the direction of the Noon Bell Tower, turns back to you guys and says,
looks like we have bigger krakens to crush than you.
You see Brink moving his hands rhythmically, whispering some arcane words. Everyone except Gum Gum make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay.
I hate Brink Tussler so much.
23.
I got a 12.
13.
You're very wise, Mud.
I am. It's where, like, all of my stats are.
Bart and Kyborg just think that the whole situation is really funny, and they fall to the ground laughing.
Oh, no, he's Joker.
Everyone's laughing?
The two of them are laughing.
Just, they are, yeah. Mud felt like something funny was happening, but it didn't make him laugh. Gum Gum, you don't know why everyone's laughing. It's a mystery to you.
Yeah.
Brink turns to the Everguards and says,
all right, boys, to the Glocken Tower and pronto.
Brink and the Everguards disengage and they bolt northward towards the city's central courtyard.
Haha, that's right. You better run. Oh, my insides hurt.
You hear the bell tower ring again, but this time it's accompanied by music. It sounds like someone is strumming a lute from high above. Out of the ground, a radiant wall of emerald energy rises and surrounds the entire Glocken Square. The Everguards pause at the courtyard's now emerald threshold. Brink says,
well, what are you waiting for? Get in there, you spineless saps, or I'll send you back to Perilite, and we both know how that's gonna end.
Diver guards charge headlong into the courtyard, passing through the glowing green barrier. They pause on the other side, drop their hoods, and look at each other.
See? I told you. Nothing to worry about, you beefcake bozos.
Brink takes a step toward the wall, but then hesitates. Oh, it's a groaning sound as one of the Everguards falls to the ground, writhing in pain as he clutches his gut. Another one's skin rapidly rots and shrivels across her now sinewy body.
Oh.
What?
Oh, no.
One Everguard's face withers into a gaunt look of horror, and all of their teeth trickle out of their mouth one by one.
Oh.
Within seconds, all the Everguards collapse to the ground into a pile of decayed skeletons.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
At the top of the Glocken Tower, out steps a bearded dwarf with auburn hair flowing in the breeze. He's dressed in a jade silk tunic laced with gold. He's plucking a shimmering lute covered in glowing emerald moss. With one final strum, he offers a winning smile and bows with a flourish. He rises and says,
"Hail and how do you do, fair citizens of Urbloom? It is I, Sleek, the Symphonious. I have come to your botanical capital to deliver a performance you will never forget. 'Tis a musical work of my own composing. A grand symphony that deserves a dashing debut in front of the grandest of audiences. And you, dear people, are the first to hear the overture. And now, without further ado, I present to you the next movement. Allegro!"
Sleek begins playing his lute again, and a stirring and sprightly melody fills the air. With every string plucked, you notice that nearby plants and flowers begin to sway back and forth to the tempo. The ivy and vines on the surrounding buildings start growing rapidly, and they begin reaching out towards all of you.
Uh-oh.
Everyone go ahead and make a dexterity saving throw.
Oh, no. Easy. Not easy. 6.
9.
16.
I have advantage on dexterity saving throws. Should I do it again, or was that...
Well, yeah, you rolled twice already.
The first one was a check. The other one was a saving throw.
Yeah, they're both plus one.
Chris uses idiot. It works. Super effective.
It fails.
Save us, Bart.
I'm going to beef our way out of this, guys.
You're going to fart our way out of this? Gross.
Ooh. Brink seems distracted by the rotting Everguard corpses and Sleek's music, and he doesn't notice as two vines coil themselves around his legs.
What the...
Brink tries to take a step back, but trips over the vines, and they start covering his entire prone body.
Oh, no.
Ah! Help! Help! Get these vines off of me!
I guess you guys are still a little further away. The vines are coming out towards you, but they haven't reached you all yet.
Okay.
Can I throw my axe then? Like, it's... I don't... Is it still, like, light and...
It would still be light, yes.
I would throw my axe at the vines at his feet.
Roll a one. Chop off his feet. Do
is
it.
That a, just a... Do I do that as an attack roll?
Yeah.
Go ahead and make it as an attack.
Oh my God, it's a one. Oh, chop off his feet.
I rolled a 1 plus 7, so it's an 8.
No, your great axe fails to hit, and then when it's coming back to you, you fail to catch it, so it falls to the ground.
I think it just materializes in my hands.
Oh, it just materializes? You throw the axe, it misses, and then it startles you when it reappears in your hand.
That's
and
true.
You're so startled that you drop it.
Mud takes a long shot and just screams at the vine and says, "Release him!" And is using his speech of Beast and Leaf to talk to them and gets a charisma advantage on checks.
Beast and Leaf.
It seems like they're just growing wild. Like, they almost like they can't release him because they have no other direction to grow in. They're just, like, expanding and filling out the space everywhere.
Mm.
It's not that they're specifically grabbing him. He's just become entangled by overgrowing vines that are growing rapidly.
Okay. It just seems like that's his fault, you know.
That's a him problem. Then... Instead, I'm gonna turn into a camel. And can I run at the vines and start biting at them with my camel big old teeth?
Yeah, go ahead and make another dexterity saving throw here.
Can do. That's a 12.
Okay. Mud turns into a camel and charges in heroically to begin biting the vines to save Ring Tussler, but the vines begin overpowering Mud as well.
And, no.
He is now stuck at the edge of the vine.
Oh, goodness.
Your turn.
Someone else want to give it a shot?
Or are we not still in initiative order?
Oh, no. It's just kind of whatever, whatever you want to do.
So right now, Brink is tied up and then Mud is?
I am now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
How far away is Sleek?
Is it the top of the tower or something?
The Glocken Tower. So from where you guys are, that's a sizable, just a couple hundred feet.
Still within range.
What is your range?
600.
Whoa.
Whoa, wait, what? For what?
It's 150 arrows. To 600 for longbow.
Oh.
Well, anything over 150 is like long distance.
Yeah, but I'm still within range. I'm Kyborg the Mighty. Bart, should I take the shot?
I mean, maybe. Maybe if you, like, nick his hand, he could stop playing and it would release the vines from people.
Yeah, just shoot the instrument.
Shooting the instrument. I'm taking the shot. That there's a 24.
I like how you did that without waiting for confirmation.
he just rolled.
I'm doing
ask for
it.
Forgiveness. Don't wait.
What that means, Blaine, like with the 150, 600, what that means is you can shoot up to 600, but if it's over 150 feet, that means you're attacking at a disadvantage. So you actually need to roll twice and take the
okay.
lower.
Okay. All right. Leave them. Pop them knuckles. Here we go. Second throw.
Come on. Even better. Even
13.
Better. That's not
13.
Even better.
Your arrow flies out. It has plenty of distance. And it looks like it's going to hit Sleek, but then when it gets right in front of him, it just, like, stops, and he deflects it off to the side.
Oh, boo. Was he Magneto?
Hey, don't boo me. Boo your bad roll.
Bart, challenge him to a musical duel.
I don't know if he could hear me from here, and I don't know about getting closer, so...
You gotta play louder.
He's also playing music as well, so it would be difficult for him to hear your music over the music that he's playing currently.
Yeah. Could I don't know if this is possible, because I don't know if I've heard of us doing this in any other game, but is it possible to give my mage hand a weapon?
It can hold up to 10 pounds.
Okay. Could I give my mage hand...
A Glock, 9mm.
A sword of some sort to go try to cut mud out of these vines?
What you could do if you wanted to assist mud is have it try to assist a check, a strength check for mud to get out. If you can't hold a sword.
Yeah, I'll do that, because I think the only sword I have is two-handed.
Yeah, it cannot wield weapons.
Okay.
Your cool. mage hand is passive.
I want my mage hand to go try to help Mud.
Okay, so if Mud wants to make, like, a strength check, he can try to break out. You would have advantage because the hand is helping.
Oh, well, I got a 23, so it's pretty good.
Okay, yeah, the camel manages to free itself. The mage hand helped.
I'm free!
Woo!
Am I how far am I from Brink? Could I continue my mission of biting?
You're pretty close to him. You could try to free him if you want. You could try to take a bite at the vines that are entangling him.
Or you could bite him.
That's a 14.
Yeah, that connects. Go ahead and roll some damage for that.
Okay, 1d4 coming right. Roll. That's a 2. Plus one modifier, so 6. 6 damage to Planties.
You bite clean through the vines that are entangling Brink Tussler. He's able to quickly get to his feet. He dusts off his cloak, looks up at you with a confused look.
What are you looking at? You expect us to be friends now or something? Keep dreaming, you Wimpleton.
Oh, my God. I hate Brink Tussler.
I'm really... Mud the camel is really contemplating just spitting on him as a camel.
Do it. Roll for spit.
Roll for spit. All right, he's free.
Starts withdrawing from the vines and making his way back to the area where you guys are, clear of the vines.
And this guy's still just playing up there.
Yes.
And he's surrounded by an emerald energy barrier that clearly is not good to go through.
Maybe. I don't know. You don't know how those guys feel. They look like they're in pain. And they look like they died, but maybe it was a pleasant experience.
Do you want me to pass through the barrier, Gus?
That's totally up to you. You do whatever you want. Okay. Brink didn't go in. Brink decided not to.
Could I do, like, a perception check or some type of check to see if there's, like, any path towards getting to this guy that doesn't involve going through this barrier or getting eaten by vines?
Yeah, go ahead and make a perception check.
Go, Bart the Bard.
No! I got an 8.
It looks like it's pretty impassable to you between the emerald. Well, the emerald field seems like it's solid in that area, of course, are the vines.
Should we try talking to him?
He's so far. I don't know if he'll hear us.
Do we have any spells that could, like, project our voices gooder?
No.
Gooder?
All my spells are, I think the max one is 90 feet on my spells.
Mm.
Gotcha. How about I shoot an arrow, you ride the arrow?
Who would ride the arrow? The 140-pound halfling?
50, 150.
I'm very strong.
What is your arrow?
Everything about me is strong.
Everything I possess.
Brink Tussler's giving you the stink eye, Kyborg.
Oh my god. Oh, I almost want to shoot Brink Tussler.
You did a bunch of damage to him. He didn't do anything to you, by the way. I just want to point that out.
He got in our way. He drew swords. We tried playing him music. We tried giving him a hug. He didn't back down. I think he was called for.
I'd like to turn to Brink. Can I talk to him?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what's going on right now?
A talking camel.
All I know is that you guys showed up and everything went to hell. What are you guys even doing here?
We don't exactly know why we were sent here, but what we do know is that when we got here, we did see our bodies and your body dead already. And then magic happened, and I believe we time traveled. And so I don't think what's happening right now ends well for us.
Oh, you must be swimming. How much ale you had before this? You must have been drinking all day there, buddy.
I'm a sober person who does not like alcohol, so.
Your friends just withered like rotten pumpkins, all right? So yeah. Maybe you should be quiet.
And Gum Gum knows what that looks like because he keeps his pumpkins out every Halloween for months on end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds like a bunch of hoo-ha. And now I think you guys are behind this whole thing.
I don't know what hoo-ha is, but we're not.
We came to Herbloom looking for Perilite.
I'll tell you what, Bart, why don't you make an intelligence check?
Okay.
There was none to be found.
11.
Something seems different about Brink. Something, he doesn't quite seem the same. Like he's missing something that you used to see, that you kind of associate with him, that you've seen every time you've encountered him in the past.
Is this like a physical thing or is this like a...
Yeah, you're not sure. Something's just off with him. It's not quite the same.
He's been neutered, yes.
Could I use my Ring of Truth on him? Ring of Truth telling?
Yes. And just for as a reminder for everyone, it gives you advantage checks when trying to figure out if someone's lying to you or not.
Yeah.
Something seems off about you, bud. Are you the real Brink Tussler?
What? Huh? Of course I'm the real Brink Tussler. The one and only. Often imitated, never duplicated.
Are you sure about that?
you can roll an insight check with advantage if you want.
Okay, we got a 15. Roll again. Now we got a 17.
Nice.
As far as you can tell, yes, you think that this is indeed the real Brink Tussler that you're talking to.
I think we should try pulling at his neck like to see if there's a mask.
Mud, why don't you roll me an intelligence check?
So why? 13.
You start to wonder, didn't Brink used to have a flying snake?
Oh, he had that. He had that flying snake with him when he came through the portal, and it was
good
when
memory.
He was with Perilite. Where's your little friend? Where's your little snake?
You see him tear up a little bit unexpectedly.
He went missing. Okay, I'm looking for him.
Do you want us to help you find him?
Kyborg, don't you have something that you picked up when you first came to Herbloom?
Gus is trying to help so much.
Before you traveled back in time?
Oh yeah, I was given something, right? Was it like a piece of jewelry or something?
It's a clock or something.
Yeah. Yeah, was it like a stopwatch or something? Boy, I should have written that down.
So when you first appeared in Herbloom, you found your own dead bodies and a dying Brink Tussler who gave you a recapitulator as well as a...
As well as a...
He doesn't have it, Gus. He doesn't know what it is.
No, I'm looking through in my notes. I did take notes, but I didn't take notes about that.
You didn't add it to your inventory?
No, I didn't. It was something that Brink Tussler owned that would prove to Brink, past Brink, that future Brink and I were friends.
Yeah, what was it?
It's jewelry. Some jewelry, note, letter. Snake, was a snake?
Oh, getting warmer.
Was it the flying snake? Is it a flying snake?
It's not a flying snake.
Is it a ground
cold,
snake?
Cold, cold, cold. Hot, warm.
Okay, a statue of a snake. A snake action figure.
No, cold, cold.
Snake skin? Fangs? Snake?
Like a belt? Shoes?
Are you enjoying yourself right now, Gus?
Yes, I'm loving this. I'm absolutely...
Something made of a snake?
No, cold. Ooh, icy.
Oh, okay.
Is it bigger than a bread box?
No.
It's small.
It's a mouse? Something to feed the snake? Involves the snake, right?
Ooh, warm, warm. Hot, hot.
Okay, guys, come on.
Was it like a whistle to call the snake or something?
Ooh, very warm.
It was a rattle. Snakes love rattles.
Like rattle?
A snake language thing?
It was a little dog tag.
Yeah, yes. Sorry. I had to search in my pockets are so deep. The cargo pants. It's a dog tag. Hey, Brink. I got a dog tag, all right? This is from your future self.
He looks in confusion at the dog tag you have in your hand, and he reaches around his neck and pulls out the same dog tag and looks at it and looks confused at the one that you have in your hand.
Where did you get that?
Gum. All right. There was a vision from the future in which I saw everyone dead, and you looked like hell, and you gave this to me so that I could prove to you in the past that we are allies and that we're supposed to be working together, okay?
Go ahead and make a, we'll say make a...
Athletics check? You want me to do a backflip?
Charisma check with advantage.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
13.
Yeah, it's a decent roll. Brink looks at you, still kind of skeptical, but says,
All right. I can see my options are limited here. Knocking on the front door of the Glocken Tower clearly doesn't work.
He says as he's pointing at the Everguard's corpses.
And I can't exactly go back to Paralyte empty-handed, so... Fine. I guess we can help each other out, but just this once. Don't get me googly friendship ideas about holding hands, making bracelets, doing sleepovers. There's a limited time offer with a fast approaching expiration date. Capiche?
I pull him in for one of those like gladiator handshakes. Hand to forearm, you know?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I pull him in close and I say, I hate you so much. I don't even want to work with you. If we didn't have to work together, I'd kill you where you stood.
Oh, what did you eat, Kyborg? Your breath is terrible. Get out of here.
Blow on his face.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We still got a little more episode ahead of you. Just want to take a quick pause and remind you to give us a follow on social media at Stinky Dragon Pod, or send out a tweet or engage with us on social media using hashtag Stinky Dragon Pod. We have a few listeners who've been using the Stinky Dragon Pod hashtag. Thank you so much. Their names have been used as NPCs in the show, like Willow, who's named after Bennett Willow, Amanda, named after the Starbuck 86X, and little baby Pip, named after Pip Punk. Thank you so much for listening to the show and engaging on social media. That's really how podcasts live and dies, by word of mouth. So thank you so much. Hopefully give us a good rating on the platform wherever you listen to this podcast. I've got a bunch of great ones. We'd like to keep adding to the great positive reviews.
Right. So now we're all working together. We still have a little dwarf who is pulling a poison ivy on us and covering the entire city in vines.
All right. So maybe Paralyte kind of sort of lost control of Sleek a little bit. And maybe she sent me and those Everguards to infiltrate the Glocken Tower and apprehend him and sort of get him back.
Oh, so that's your friend?
No. Work acquaintances.
Gotcha.
Unless you troll kisses got any better ideas, I might know a guy in town that could help us.
Ooh.
His name is Howie. He's supposed to be staying at the beer garden.
You hear the sound of Luke playing music.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, the Deal or No Deal theme song.
Suddenly, you're all sitting around a table holding up half-drunk steins in the air.
Pub?
What?
What?
People are screaming all around you and rushing out the door. A ruddy-skinned dwarf lady wearing a floral bandana and apron bumps into the table. A name tag pinned to her apron reads Willow. She offers you a baffled look and says,
Hey, I'm all for chill vibes and hanging out, but seriously... What are you still doing here? We gotta get out of here.
Did we just get teleported?
I think so.
To a pub?
Madam.
She's not listening to you. She's dashing for the front door, but she's snatched by a green and purple vine that yanks her to the floor.
Oh,
she flails as she's dragged across the floor, screaming, Help me, please help me!
I jump and... Am I still raging? I don't know.
That sounds like a therapy question.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your rage.
And which machine is it against?
Everyone go ahead and roll like an initiative roll so we can see who would have like first opportunity to try to do anything.
Okay.
You don't, you feel like your rage has subsided, by the way, just to answer that question, Gum Gum.
I got a 20.
15.
17.
21.
Kyborg, you are the first who's able to act. You see Willow being dragged away by those vines.
I pull out the longbow of triumph and I take a shot at the vine to free her.
Okay, go ahead and take a shot.
Alley-oop. That is a 20 plus 8,
21. Whoa. Oh. Yeah, I mean, your arrow cleanly slices through the vine, allowing Willow to scamper up to her feet. She says, oh, thank you, now run! And she continues running out the door. You hear a loud boom, and a slimy green maw bursts through the floorboard, shattering the bar in half. Thrashing vines and wooden shrapnel fly about the room. Everyone go ahead and roll a dexterity saving throw.
Oh, no. Oh,
this
no.
Sounds so epic.
Sure does. 22. I'm good. I'm a god today.
I am not. 4.
I have an advantage on dexterity. 13.
I got a 16.
I'm still a camel, by the way. So was a camel holding up a beer stein?
Hell yeah. And this little knuckle.
You had like a feed bag, a camel feed bag.
Nope. Camel was holding a beer stein. That's canon.
Okay. As that maw bursts through the floorboards, it peppers everyone with shrapnel. And everyone manages, for the most part, to avoid getting injured by it, except for Mud, who does take a little bit of damage from some of the shrapnel flying about. And Mud receives 1 point of damage from that.
Owie.
Once again, Willow is grabbed by yet another vine.
What?
Oh, no.
Whose turn is it to save her this time?
There's a monstrous pod-looking plant that lifts Willow above its thorny teeth, drooling with sap. A shrill voice screeches in your heads.
Hello, my dear Willow, is it? My name is Amanda, and you will be my dinner this evening.
The dwarf is dropped into the Amanda's miry maw and slithers down its husky pod gullet. Willow's muted screams slowly fade. Then, blah, Amanda spews out 3 dwarves covered in mossy slime.
What?
They all look identical. An aproned Willow donning a floral bandana. They all 3 stand up, turn to you with eyes unblinking, and say in unison,
welcome to the Beer Garden Pub. My name is Willow. We have an unbelievable menu that will truly knock your stocks off.
And all 3 Willows start marching toward you and say,
what? Come right this way. There's someone at the bar I'd like you to meet. Her name is Amanda.
No! Oh no.
This is all happening so fast.
This is like a bar where we die via plant.
We've had a lot of people getting eaten in this campaign.
I know.
It's the big new trend is a plant. It's a plant-based pub.
It's a plant-based pub.
Plant-based.
That's literally a beer garden.
So you see a seating area with 4 tables next to a bar that kind of wraps around. And off in the other open area is another 3 or 4 tables. Then back there, you believe there's like a storeroom over in that direction. Between the 2 seating areas to the north is where the exit is. And currently, Amanda and the podlings are between you and the exit. Kyborg, weird pod people are trying to introduce you to Amanda, which you don't think would be a good thing.
I take a shot with the longbow of triumph. The one that's closest to me.
At the willow that's closest to you?
Yeah. That being said, I do want to move backwards as far as I can get from them without like backing myself into a corner, but I do want to get a safe distance from them.
We're like in a pub, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I still want to jump on a table and I want to get it far away and then I want to pull out longbow triumph. Wah, take a shot. 27.
It's a good shot.
Yeah. You do manage to hit.
And my damage? 7.
Ain't that longbow just awesome?
I love this longbow so much, Barbara.
Longbow's so fun.
Your bow strikes true yet again, Kyborg. You're really on top of your bow game today.
Woo!
We'll say it hits that willow in the shoulder, but she still seems almost unfazed by it, almost like it didn't happen.
Ugh.
Bart.
Could I cast Cloud of Daggers over Amanda and the dwarves?
Yes.
A-O-E. A-O-E.
Aghast.
You fill the air with spinning daggers in a cube 5 feet on each side. So it's not necessarily big enough to encompass all of them because 5 feet is like a 5-foot by 5-foot square is typically what one creature would stand in D&D.
Okay. Well, I'm going to focus it over Amanda.
Over Amanda. Okay. So Amanda will be taking 4d4 slashing damage when it enters the spell's area for the first time on a turn or when it starts its turn there. So go ahead and roll 4d4 damage for Amanda right now.
That's a good call. I don't think Amanda's going to be moving around a lot.
We got a 10.
Would you say she's pretty planted in that spot?
Yeah, she's taking root.
We got 10 on that roll total.
Yeah, there's daggers flying all around Amanda, and Amanda's kind of swatting at them a little bit.
And wait, so Amanda's like a big plant?
Yeah, like think like Little Shop of Horrors. Feeding
That's
feeding.
Gotcha.
Oh. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Suddenly, Amanda.
Gum.
The dwarf that got swallowed by Amanda, I know she got spit up as little doppelgangers. Do I see any like movement inside of the big plant thing that she could still be inside?
No.
And do all three of the doppelgangers look the same?
Yeah, all identical. And they're all speaking in unison.
Like, to get past the doppelgangers to Amanda, is there any, like, swinging device? Like a chandelier?
Chandelier. Yeah.
I was thinking about jumping, grabbing a chandelier, swinging over to get behind the doppelgangers and attack the Amanda.
Do it.
Yeah,
do
that would be it. Like some kind of acrobatics check.
Sure.
How's your dex?
Or athletics, right?
No, this is acrobatics.
Okay.
Sure you don't want to use my strength? I'm a barbarian.
All right.
If you wanted to like bum rush or something, that would be strength, but you know, jumping.
Yeah.
This is a lot more dexterous.
All right, I'm going to do that. Oh, 20.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
Damn.
Gum. You don't think there's any way he could possibly jump up and grab onto the chandelier, but somehow he manages to do it. And the force, the momentum of him jumping up and grabbing the chandelier propels him forward over the willow doppelgangers. And he lands on the ground between the doppelgangers and Amanda.
While he does that, Mud does the whole Free Willy thing and just points up to him as he travels overhead.
Tybor sheds a single tear and says, so athletic.
Acrobatic.
So acrobatic.
And then, guess I'll rage, take my battle axe and swing it. I guess I would rage first. So I'd roll the wild magic rage, right?
Yes.
What kind of rage do we get? What flavor we got?
Let's see.
Spicy rage.
Roll that D8.
You teleport up to 30 feet to an unoccupied space you can see.
You should have raged before you
I know.
That.
Until your rage ends, you can use this effect again on each of your turns as a bonus action.
Oh, okay. No. This is cool. All right. So then I'm going to, in my rage, I'm going to swipe at that Amanda, trying to cut it off at the stalks. Yeah.
Ooh, sound effect.
10.
That was not great. That was not
great. That does not hit. So Gum Gum's doing a bunch of really cool things. One of those cool things is not making a successful attack.
So I do that, and then I teleport back to in front of my friends. And I'm very confused about what happened.
So what happened? Just to be clear then, you jumped up, used the chandelier, took an attack on Amanda, then teleported back to where you started from originally?
So yeah, nothing happened.
Nothing happened. But now I can teleport. And I'm like, why is everything teleporting?
Does Gum Gum think that he has control of time? Does he think he's like jumping forward and backwards in time?
No, he doesn't understand because he thought he did that move and then realized he left his friends out in the open. So then he wished he hadn't done it and then teleported back and is really confused how he thinks his wishes come true.
I have a great way of figuring out how we view Gum Gum now. He's Jack-Jack from The Incredibles.
Yes.
That's a great way to put it.
Analogy.
Just an overpowered baby who does not know what he's doing.
And probably has the same vocabulary.
And likes the same meals.
Just says his own name. Gum Gum.
Gum Gum.
Jack-Jack.
Mud, what do you want to do?
All right, so we've taken a swing at one of the willows. I was about to cast magic. I'm going to bite that willow, the one that Kyborg just did some damage to.
Shot in the shoulder.
All right.
Damage.
Mud, the camel, trots on over to willow number one, makes an attack, tries to bite her.
It's a one.
Ooh, Mud bites his own tongue as a camel. He's not gotten the hang of being a camel yet. Ow. You hear a pained bray from the camel.
Yeah, that's my turn. I'm just embarrassed. I don't want to do anything else.
It's their turn. Amanda lashes out with her vines and makes an attack on each one of you.
Is Amanda's last name Hug and Kiss?
Nice. Hey.
I need Amanda Hug and Kiss. It's a Simpsons joke for you guys.
We're going to get Bart. I got it. I like it. So that's a hit on Bart. The vine lashes out and hits you, doing 12 points of damage.
Whoa!
Another vine lashes out in Gum Gum's direction.
I am not doing well.
So yeah, that is a hit on Gum Gum. Gum Gum takes 11 points of damage.
Oh my!
What kind of damage is that? Is that bludgeoning?
It is slashing. So I think since you're raging, you take half.
Yes, thank goodness. Oh, I round up or down? Is that 5 or 6?
Down, so 5.
Oh,
so jealous.
Okay, another vine lashes out at Kyborg. Ooh, that is definitely a hit. Kyborg takes
1 point of damage.
10 points of damage.
No!
Mud the Camel, you also get an attack.
Mm-hmm.
Your armor class is 15, right?
No, as a camel, it's 9.
It hits. Stop being a camel.
I like being a camel.
I thought you were saved, but nope. The camel also gets lashed by a vine and takes 11 points of damage as well.
Okay.
So since you've been all hit by the vine, you all need to make a grapple check.
Grapple check.
Oh, 13.
14.
17, and I have advantage. I'm rolling again. 19.
Wait. Dang it. It's 10.
Okay, so everyone but Gum Gum is grappled and being held by the vine. Music begins to play, but not from a lute. 7 musical instruments float down the nearby stairwell and begin playing a song you know, and a familiar voice sings, "Oh, my dear, our love is strong. Surely it would last a song. But God forbid the song should fade. How could it ever be replayed? Perhaps the tune need not be vast to slow down the clock from ticking fast. The song would play till we were deaf. Our love would be all that was left."
I know this reference. This is from episode 3.
Yeah. Look at you.
We helped write that song.
You did.
Oh.
A satyr dressed in coat and tail strolls down the stairs holding a raised baton. It's Wilhelm.
Hey.
Wilhelm.
Oh, guten Tag, interns. You know I love to write songs, but perhaps this situation could use some decomposing.